Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you for your word. I believe our lives will never remain the same hearing your word in the name of Jesus. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. So we started in the first service talking about God's kingdom dream. And to a first extent, we explained and gave an idea of what the kingdom of God is and how that God has called us into a kingdom. What was the scripture we used in the first service? The first scripture in Thessalonians. What did I say about remembering scriptures? It makes you an effective preacher, isn't it? So it's what? 2:12. So let's read 1 Thessalonians 2:12. The Bible said we've been called into a kingdom, so we should live a life worthy of the kingdom that we have been called. Hallelujah. God calls us to live a life worthy of the kingdom we've been called. Amen. So let's read together. Maybe from verse 11, so we have more better idea. Want to go. As you know how we want. Are you alive?
Yes, sir.
All right, so let's read. Amen. Oh, God. That's it. Glory. Mm-hmm. Now, turn your phones off or put them on airplane mode. Sometimes I wonder why. Whether we were supposed to have phones in the first place. Amen? So just put them on airplane mode. You know airplane mode, so that you can see your phone that is still alive and be consoled. Do you understand? It's not dead. So that you can concentrate. Alright, everyone? Have you done that? You've done that, right? Good. So let's continue. And be alive. Are you here? As you know how we work, and comforted and charge every one of you as. So Paul is like, I'm speaking to you as a father and as your pastor. And what did he say? Because he heard them living a life not worthy of the kingdom. So see the next part of scripture. It says to them that you would walk worthy of what? Who what? So we've been called into God's kingdom and glory. You should be aware of it. It said if you are born again, you will see the kingdom. How you get ushered into this kingdom is that you are born again. And how are you born again? By the incorruptible seed of what? God's word. The incorruptible seed of God's word. Meaning Jesus is how we are ushered into this kingdom. Little wonder he said, I am way, truth, and life. And in John 10 he said he is the door, and that he is manifested as door when he is dead, buried, and resurrected. That way we gain entrance through his resurrection into the kingdom, isn't it? So the Bible said, based on the finished work of Jesus, the understanding of the finished work of Jesus, let's see a little bit of what the finished work of Jesus entails of us and has provided for us to be capacitated into the kingdom. Or to get us ushered into the kingdom. Or to get us born again in literal Bible words. Nicodemus said, do you mean I should get into my mother's womb and come out? Remember he asked the question. Because Jesus there simply means, by born again there, Jesus is actually telling them that they have to be regenerated. Their minds have to be totally transformed and renewed. Like newborn babies. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Meaning the way they saw life was actually false. They are supposed to see life from another perspective now. Alright? Entirely different. Are we together? So let's see some of the, you know, the Bible says we are born again by the, maybe we'll just see it as we read so that it doesn't look strange. John 3 from verse 1. Let's read together. One, two, go. Next part of scripture. Can I have this in the TPTs? I didn't touch TPT today, but I want to show you something from verse 1. Verse 1. Now there was a prominent religious leader. You see, that's what I want you to understand. He's not just a Jew, he's a religious, prominent religious leader. You will now understand why Jesus said, are you a leader of the Jews and you don't know this thing? How many of you are aware Jesus asked a question like that? Because he's a prominent religious leader. Meaning more like he was a priest or a pastor or something in their days. Among the Jews named Nicodemus, who was part of the sect called the Pharisees, and a member of the Jewish ruling council. Meaning he was a big man in their religions whatsoever they were doing. Are we together? Next part of scripture. One night he discreetly came to Jesus and said, Master, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one performs the miracle signs that you do. Meaning that, you see, he was hearing what the Pharisees were doing. He was, you know, seeing everything that was happening. But he was not pleased with what the Pharisees were doing to Jesus. He knew that the Pharisees were actually being not sincere. They were just liars. Alright? They were condemning Jesus, but he knew that Jesus, what he's doing is true. So he went in the night discreetly, the Bible said, right? And said, Master. He didn't say, you this small boy, like the Pharisees were saying, son of carpenter. He said, no, Master, we know that you are a what? Teacher from God. We know. Meaning the Pharisees knew. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Let me look for the scripture and show you. You'll be amazed. These guys actually, you know, the devil is a very wicked person. A very, very wicked person. He's in Mark. I really wish I could show you the scripture. Alright. Simeon had. It was one of the parables Jesus gave. He said he likens the kingdom to a man that planted a garden and sent his servants to come and check the garden, and they were killed. The person he put in charge of the garden killed the servant. Can you remember that? What? Mark 12, alright. From verse 1. Wow. Otis. Did she get this? Open it for us. Mark 12 from verse 1. Pastor Emma just confirmed it too. He saw it too. He agrees. Then Jesus began to speak to them in parables. There once was a man who planted a vineyard and put a secure fence around it. He dug a pit for his wine press and erected a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenant farmers and traveled abroad. Okay. It should not be noise though. Next part of scripture. There are some of you that have called for children. I don't know what you are doing. You are sitting here and doing it. We'll find after church if God has called you to talk to children. If you feel you like, if you have this appetite for children, meet me after service. I don't mean you like children, you want to give birth to children, meet me. I mean you have you feel you can teach children. The pastor says, I just like children. I like having plenty of children. In fact, I told my husband 12 children. That's not the person I'm talking about. You feel God wants you to teach children. Do you understand? You have this passion to teach children. Because it's a call. If you are not called, you break somebody's head in that place. So it's a call. Are we together? When the time of harvest came, he sent one of his servants to the tenants to collect the land. But what happened? Next part of scripture. What happened? But the tenants seized him, beat him, and sent him back empty-handed. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. You see, they perceived, they saw that Jesus was talking to them. Prophet had gone ahead of John the Baptist. They will beat the prophet, stone them. Hope you know that. They will stone their prophet. Check the Bible. Wicked set of people. Because they didn't want anybody to come and collect rulership from them. They wanted to be the bishops and the exeteras. They were so into their leadership system and religious system. They didn't want authority to be removed. How many of you have been in a religious system where somebody married with 3 kids is still youth leader? I don't know if you have been there. That's like 3 children, but he's youth leader. I mean, that's the kind of people we are talking about. Yeah, how are you youth leader now? You have like 4 or 5 children. Alright? And the guy is over 45, getting to 50 years, and they call him the youth leader of the church. I mean, he lobbies it like his politics. These are the kind of people we are talking about here. But the tenants seized him and beat him and sent him back empty-handed. Said, get out from this place. Jesus is like, I started the movement. This thing you are doing. The reason why you people go to the temple is, he said, I am the originator of it. I started it. But I sent people to come and bring a true harvest of true Christianity and kingdom. And you people are beating them and throwing them away. He was talking to the Pharisees. You threw away the prophet. You beat away the prophet. Next part of scriptures. In parable, he was speaking to them because hearing they never heard and seeing they never saw. And so they never understood. So the owner sent another servant. That's God, right? And one of them, and that one, they shamefully what? Humiliated and beat over the head. Next part of scripture. So he sent another servant and they brutally killed him. I think this will be John the Baptist. They killed him. Because after this, you hear him talk about himself. I think so. Is it that he's asking, is that title and platform really that important to you? Are you really having to find your identity in that? He now wrote very sad. So religion will come like that woman on the pole now, the stripper, and she will use things like title and what? Platforms. And if you are a young minister here, or you understand ministry to a friend, then you know these two things are a problem. Title and what? Platform. Even with music ministers and etc. Title and platform. So you see yourself adjusting to certain beliefs that you know are wrong so that you can have that title, that honor, or that platform. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. And that way, we're still maintaining the old wineskin because the Bible said, it said, I cannot put new wine in what? Old wineskin. Jesus speaking. Are you guys here tonight? Are you understanding me tonight? So you see, these guys, they fought Jesus. And before Jesus came and they fought him, they were fighting all the prophets that God was sending. They were fighting them because of their religious practices. They didn't want anybody to take authority from them. He said, so he sent another servant and they brutally killed him. And many more servants were sent and they were all severely beaten or killed. Next part of scriptures. Verse 6. The owner had only one person left to send. His only son. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Whom he dearly loved. So he sent him to them, saying, surely they will restrain themselves and respect my son. But next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. But the tenants saw their chance and said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and then we will inherit it all. You see? They even stood against the Son of God. Now, look at, how did I know that they were standing against the Son of God? What did Nicodemus say? Go back there to verse 2. John 3, verse 2. Look at what Nicodemus said. Who is a Pharisee? A religious leader. Go back to John 3 and 2. One night, he what? And said, Master, we know that you are. For no one performed this miracle signs that you do unless God's power is with him. You see, they knew. They knew he was from God. Yet they wanted him killed. What did they say? Crucify, his blood be upon and our children. That's how Satan can make you wicked when you choose religious pathway. He can make you wicked. That you are in church, you will not miss any church activity, but you don't know Jesus. So you're not different from the world. You can still talk down people, gossip people, yet the first person that will make it to church the next morning is you, because all you know is religion. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Such that these people were very religious, yet they wanted Jesus killed. Here's Nicodemus saying they know he came from God, yet they wanted him killed. Religion is not from God. When you embrace religion, what Satan will do is that, you know, since religion has this impression that it is of God, he will come through religion and invade your life, that you are in church, manifesting what scripture says. He said, these people worship me with their what? With their mouth, but their what? Hearts are far away. Not just away, far away. Now listen, let's be sincere, church people. Have you been in certain places where, listen carefully and answer this question. Have you been in certain places where they go to church very well, yet they still do activities that seem like they are worldly? Have you seen things like that happen in church? While I was growing up, I don't know if it happened in your own setting. There was a time the youth of my church threw a party. I'm not talking about a Christian party. It was a worldly party where they played worldly songs and drank alcohol while I grew up. It was an Orthodox church. They did it. And when they were done on Saturday, they were lined up to confess their sins. Now, I'm not trying to mock. You know, some people may say, Pastor, you are trying to mock. That's not what you are supposed to do. No, that's not mockery. You cannot teach truth, right? You can never teach the truth without actually adjusting some things that are anti the truth. You can't. Are we together? If you must teach truth, it will discard some certain lies. Let me show you a certain scripture, for instance. Alright, let's see Matthew 22. I wanted the Mark's rendition, but let's see Matthew 22 from verse 43. I think that is it. 22. It said, then Jesus said to them, how is it that David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, could call his son the Lord? For didn't he say, next part of scripture, the Lord Jehovah said to my Lord, sit near me in the place of authority until I subdue all your enemies under your feet. Next part of scripture. So how could David call his own son the Lord Jehovah? Listen, I'm going somewhere. This is Jesus debunking the fact that they called him the son of David. Are you listening? I hope you are not sleeping. It's an attack. They called him the son of who? He said, how can David call his son Lord? But according to prophecy, the Bible says a root from what? A root of what? A root of what? A root of what? So naturally speaking, who is Jesus' great grandfather? Huh? Huh? David! But he said, no, he's not. Is Jesus lying here? Is he being disrespectful? Now, complete the rhema in your heart. So whoever you think is his mother, is the same question. It's not pride. Jesus was not being proud. He was speaking reality. Are you all here? Are you all here? Let's go back to where we were. Now go back to John. That's our focal point, right? Next part of scripture. What did Jesus say? Jesus answered, Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can perceive God's kingdom realm, they must first experience a rebirth. You see that? They must first experience what? A rebirth. And how are we born again? How does this rebirth happen? Can you remember? Huh? The Bible says we are born again by the incorruptible. 1 Peter 1:23. There are several scriptures that explains this. 1 Peter, there's James also, 1:14, I guess. But it says, for through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again. And this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but it will live and grow inside of you forever. How does the NKJV says this? Let's read NKJV. It says, having been born again, not of what? Corruptible, but what? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see that? Now, when God's word gains ascendance in your soul by revelation, what happens? The way you begin to see life becomes different. Alright? You begin to see, you gain access to your new world because it's a new you. Are you listening to me? There is no way you see yourself new and keep on adjusting to the conditions of this world. No. That's why the Bible says we are born of God and we have overcome the world. Immediately you are born of God, you must overcome the present world because it is full of darkness. Satan has been existing there. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So you say if you are born of God, what has happened automatically? You have what? Overcome the world. Full of sin or darkness. Not by living the world. You don't overcome the world by living the world. The Bible speaking, it said, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. David still said, rule in the presence of your enemies. Meaning God is saying, in this world full of darkness, you are light. Say, I'm light. You are light. You must understand this. Listen carefully, people of God. You are above only and never beneath. Far above what? Principalities and powers. Why do people fall into sin and live in sin? Fear of sin is why we become a prey to the devil through sin. Fear of sin. He said those who through fear of death were held captive by the devil. So what we do by the gospel is to destroy every sin consciousness. Fear consciousness in your heart. We have received the spirit not to what? But the spirit of what? Sound mind. Of what? And of what? See what the Bible said in Galatians 6:14. Born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. As you begin to see God's word, understand God's word, it begins to usher you. The word of God begins to usher you into this new realm of his kingdom. You begin to see the possibilities of his kingdom. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? See, if you have experienced a rebirth by the word, you see the kingdom. You perceive the kingdom. You know the kingdom. Are we together? That simply means as we teach you God's word every day, what should you be seeing every day? The kingdom of God. Are you understanding me tonight? The proof that you are understanding God's word is that you are ushered into his kingdom. Every day of your life. What does he say? He said, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been what? Crucified to me and high to the world. Meaning Paul is saying that as a child of God who is now part of the kingdom, my reason for being part of the kingdom is nothing from my human effort, but everything that was achieved through the cross of Jesus. Are we together? He said he cannot boast about anything in the flesh, but everything that came to him in the spirit through the cross. In Galatians 2 from verse 20. Galatians 2 from verse 20. What I'm trying to hit now is how that grace is the pathway to the kingdom. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? That if you don't experience grace, you can never flow perfectly in the kingdom or live perfectly in the kingdom. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of what? The Son of God. The faith of what? The Son of God. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Who what? Loved me and what? Gave himself for me. Verse 20, 21. It says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness come through the law, then Christ died in vain. You see that? If righteousness comes through the law, the old practices of the Pharisees, he said what? Then Christ died. Christ died. You will never truly understand and experience salvation if you hold on to religious ideas. You will not. That's what Paul is trying to say here. In Philippians 3:17, Paul still said these words. Just listen to me. From verse 17 down to verse 18. Philippians 3. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk, who so walk. As you have us for a pattern. Next part of scripture. He said, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. So you see Paul speaking about two enemies of the cross. One category of the enemies are those that, instead of following grace as a pathway to the kingdom, they are looking for religious ideas, holding on to what? Religious idea. There's something they have to do, there's a structure they have to bow to be, you know, there's a religious thing they have to do for their sins to be forgiven. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? He said, if you do all of those things, you make the cross of Jesus of no effect. Secondly, he said, other people that have made the cross of Jesus look like it has no effect are those who call themselves Christians. You know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 says, so-called Christians, from verse 11. He says, so-called Christians, yet they live like Jesus did not do anything for them on the cross of Calvary. Paul calls them the enemies of the cross of Christ. He says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Jesus. Next part of scripture. It says to them, it says, for whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on what? Earthly things. You see, this one is not religious people. It says, whose end is what? Whose end is what? If you live in sin, what is your end? Destruction. It said, whose God is their what? Meaning everything they are doing is money. They just want to make money. And whose glory is in their shame? Have you seen people that they don't care about anything they do as long as it gives them money? Who set their mind on earthly things? So all of these things happen because they set their minds on what? Earthly things. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first. It's not saying don't follow your career. Don't do it. Don't follow your whatsoever you are doing to get money. But it said, in order of priority, the number one should be what? Kingdom. Then he said, every other good thing will add up eventually. Meaning that, listen to what it means. If you, for instance, a very practical example, you have a business and you have service on Sunday morning, and you heard that on Sunday morning there are a lot of customers. Alright? You heard one rumor that every Sunday morning customers are plenty. Then because of customers are plenty, you now say you will not come to church. It is because kingdom is not first in your heart. Let me show you how every other good thing will work. An example, a practicality of what it means for every other good thing to be added. If you close that shop that Sunday morning and come to church and finish service and probably go back there, the Bible said you will even sell better than people that were there since in the morning. If you truly understand the blessing upon your life, people will even wait for you to finish service. I remember one time my car broke down in Lafia when I went for Pastor Emma's wedding. We're coming back and we didn't really know about car that time. I was using my first car that time. And the radiator was leaking. We didn't really know. We thought we had filled it, but we forgot to fill it with water. And around that water board, around, is it Kefi or Kwanga? I can't really tell. The car stopped. And the driver observed that it was overheating. Now, instead of even waiting for it to cool down, we now opened the radiator. And the thing just... They now said we should not pour water. We now started pouring water. I said we have to go to church. We have to go to church. Please, pour water anyhow. Start that car. Let's get out from there. They poured water. The top gasket now burnt completely. I didn't even go home that day. Talk less of go to church the next day. I started doing security man. Because he went forward to look for... people to come and tow the vehicle. So when he went forward to look for people to come and tow the vehicle, myself with Mama T were inside the car. So me, I had to come out now and do security. Because it was looking like a dangerous place. I saw Fulani people just passing. So I came out, I started speaking Fulani. Where in the Kuru? Sandopa, I was just greeting them so that they would know that we are part of each other. And not try to do anything stupid. Amen. So I was speaking good Hausa with them, man. The way God will help do it, he was looking for people up there. The Fulani people were the ones that didn't even help me, some of them. And I told them my car, blah blah blah, I can't in Kaduna. I come from Benue, but I grew in Kaduna. I didn't lie. You know where they give birth to you, you're supposed to be this thing. They gave birth to me in Kaduna. So I said, Nidan Kaduna, ni na igrima Kaduna. It was not actually an actual lie like that. So I said, they now look for car and came and tow my car straight to mechanic. We had to meet the guy in the front. So when we were going, we were checking for him. And when we saw him, we said, don't worry, just come and enter the school. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. And we had to sleep in Akwanga. Is it Akwanga? Akwanga, yes. Hallelujah to Jesus. Where was I going before I said this? I'm almost forgetting. Let me see who follows me in this church. Dear Jesus. Huh? Close your business. Hey. The example I wanted to give was that we were looking for something to buy. Oil. After they coupled the engine, some sort of. We're looking for oil to buy. The mechanic said there's only one person he trusts for original oil. And except the man come back from service, he will not put another oil in this car. We said, but people have... He said, no, Pastor, I know what I'm telling you. If you buy anywhere, your car will stop on the road. I know the person that can give us good oil. And now nobody can meet him. He's in church. He said nobody should call him when he's in church. So we were waiting for him. People, you see all those people there? I said, yeah. He said, they are waiting for him to finish service and come. I said, what kind of influence is this? That you are in church, people are waiting for you. You even warn them that they should not even call you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But do you know some who even miss church? One time we were coming to church in the morning and NNPC opened their station. As people were going, I'm sure a lot of people there were going to church. As NNPC opened, they just say, now wow, Jesus is in the heart. They just turn and enter because the fuel is cheaper. You understand what I'm trying to say? So when we were passing, I told Mama Tia, I said, I'm very sure most of these people were going for service. But as NNPC opened it, they just say, service can wait. God is in the heart. Even here, I will follow online. You know, things like that. Because to them, kingdom is not first. What it simply means to seek first the kingdom is that create a schedule, making kingdom your pursuit for God number one. And because of your schedule for God, create space for other schedules. He said you'll be better than people that are pursuing money in this world. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? How can you just stand up in the morning and say, the reason I'm going to Abuja is because and there's more opportunities there. Kingdom should be the reason. There are some people here. Listen, and the Bible said, do not rejoice in the prosperity of the wicked. You know what the wicked means there? In summary, it means people that don't follow the word of God. God said you should be in a particular location. Let's imagine Zaria. You wake up and you sense God wants you to be in Zaria. And the next moment, Prophet Simon calls you and says, I sense this will be in Zaria. You dreamt it. So, yeah, sir, I think it's a confirmation. You move your family to Zaria. Zaria. Everybody say, are you mad? Why did the pastor not go there? He's sending you to Zaria. And you were sure God told you to go to Zaria. But in your logical mind, you know there's more money in Abuja and opportunities in Abuja than. So logically, who wants to be in Zaria when there's Abuja? Just like Makurdi now. My friend said the pro version of Makurdi is the banks of Abuja. You know what that means? Like river banks. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The pro version of Benue State is the banks of Abuja. When you go to Nyanya, and you go to New Nyanya, and you go to Masaka, Maraba, you see our people there very plenty. Am I lying? I'm not looking down on you if you are there, but am I lying? Some of us live there. That's where our houses are. Because we feel like we should just be close to success than to be in failure. Something like that. Like somebody said one time, I heard that she said, even if God could just say, make I live for gate of heaven all the days of my life, be better. May I not enter heaven. Make I just live for the gate all my life. Make I not enter heaven. I could prefer her more. Because my life just they go like this. I could sin sometimes. So may God just come when I did try. So that even if I get, man, I did yo. And I laughed. You know, I was going to write tests that morning. And the other one said, if I go heaven, it will shock me. Oh. It will shock me where. I was so shocked. I had to turn and look at them because I was moving like this. I thought, hey, that pastor, they started running and laughing. You know, she said she'll be shocked. The other one said, hey, me, even if it's at the bank of the close to the gate. So some people are like that. They think there's money in a particular location. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And God called them to be in Benue to start a ministry in Benue. They said, Benue? They start doing logical calculation. Which people can give money in Benue? Who can sponsor ministry in Benue? But Abuja, and even people from Nyanya, the rich past people from Makurdi, they'll start doing the calculation. Not knowing that the blessing has no location problem. I've said that several times. Sometimes it's easier to say yes, sir, than to believe it. The word of God should not just end in church. Yes, sir. Preach, sir. Carry it in your heart and run with it. In your businesses, run with it. You wake up in the morning, you try some things, it's about to fail. You know, say, oh God, why me? Why me? Tinubu is an idiot. That's not how you talk as a child of God. We're not denying the fact that we don't have a president. Alright, I don't believe Nigeria has a president. They can feed me, I will say it anywhere. Then we don't have a precedent. It's the truth. But that doesn't mean that your life success is tied to that man that calls himself your president. Or the economy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Glory to God forevermore. You know, somebody one time, I had these politicians that were my neighbors in my former compound. And they worked with the present administration. And one time they said to me, said, Pastor, if you behave well, we'll come and do a Thanksgiving in your church. I said, what do you mean by behave well? I said, if you coordinate yourself with us, if you just, then one of them said he saw somebody in my church he wants to marry. And he's already married. He visited church, said he saw one lady like that. If I call her, people will laugh. He described the lady. She's an usher. Say he wants to marry her. I did not say it's a Macau. And I said to him, he said, Pastor, so what do you think? I said, what of your wife? He said, ah, Pastor, now what for you? That one may be my real wife. Oh. I know I'll find my real wife. I'm not joking. That's what he told me. He said, if I marry five, he bad? I said, yeah, it's not bad. Just that you cannot marry anybody in my church. He said, no, Pastor, see, we have organized Thanksgiving in many Pentecostal churches. They just have to see us. Me, this is the way I want you to see me. Or you just find something for me, I will arrange it. They will come and do Thanksgiving in your church. I said, listen, I'm not interested. He said, Pastor, do you know how much you'll give? I said, I'm not interested. He said, wait, Pastor, if they give you a political position today, you will not collect. I said, I will not collect. He said, are you serious? I said, yes. He says, I want to make you an ambassador. You know, I said, I don't want. It's not, you know, some of you be looking at me and say, Pastor, are you sure? Are you sure? I know what I'm telling you. I don't need it. It's not my call. If I collect it, I've killed this ministry because it's not my call. I've seen men of God that dead politics, they ended. Because God, they are so passionate about the change in Nigeria that they say, okay, now I'm APC. There's one that joined APC, he has disgraced himself. Now he's back to full-time ministry. The passion for Nigeria does not mean you should go and enter into politics. Good government. God, you may have the passion, but pray. Pray for the country. It doesn't mean you should go and start politics. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? If it's not your call, it's not your call. Does it mean Christians are not supposed to do politics? No, Christians are supposed to do politics. And that's why I'm telling some of you, if you sense God telling you that you should enter into politics, enter. Are you listening to me? Because if you don't enter, how do we change this country? And some of you have been lied to about politics. They say if you enter into politics, you automatically become a thief. It's not true. It's not true. It's hard to believe that there are politicians that are not thieves in Nigeria. But they may be. They may be. Am I saying the truth? How do I know that Jesus said there's remnants? There are some in caves, Elijah. So I believe there are some politicians that truly fear God, even though it's hard to believe. I believe that we have a few of them. And if we don't have, you can be that person. You know, one young man told me he wants to be a politician. I said, okay, pursue it. So he said he wanted to be SU president. So no problem. He started by being a comrade. Then he came to my office for prayers. I want to be SU. He will come to church, clean church, arrange everywhere before that time. So I said, are you sure you can do this thing? He said, yes. I said, no problem. God see you through. He got SU president. And when he got SU president, we lost him. When we check the media to try to find him, he's in burial services. Every time he's going for burial. For one barrier to another. Why are you not in church, sir? We had a barrier for one student. Is that why they made the SU president? They said, I have to just attend barrier ceremony. Then one time he called me that they have Thanksgiving. I said, don't come to this church for Thanksgiving. You are just SU president. You have started missing church. Check your heart correctly. Some of you that are into business. God, give me the capital for the business. Now that you just have 20% of the capital. Do you still come for departmental meetings? Or business is taking your time? Sir, business is not easy. So we that are in departmental meetings now, we don't have business. We are poor people. This is how God tests your heart with small things. Are you people listening to me? We walk in the billions. The hundreds of thousands you have now, what are you doing in this level? What are you doing? Are you all listening to me? With the hundreds of thousands you have now, what are you doing? Seek first the kingdom. Look at that man, like I said in Akwanga. Look at all the glories. So, will it be for anybody that seeks first the word kingdom? So, for this young man, I left church. Until today, I don't even know where he is. From SU president. Such a person, if he becomes Senate president, God will lose himself. It's not only church that will lose him. Do you understand? It's the truth. Who told you that you cannot be a president and go to church? You know, religion is more terrible than true Christianity. See, for instance, look at the people from the other side. Have you ever heard that there was no time as a president that they missed their prayer? Huh? Do you people get what I'm trying to... You ever had a time that Buhari misses prayer? Because their own, there is penance. They preach penance and practice. You don't do it, this will happen. But in Christianity, they say Jesus loves you. And your sins are forgiven. It doesn't matter. Nobody should force you. Jesus does not force people. That's why on Sunday, you hear some people say, God is in my heart. Church, GCMI is inside my heart. I'll do praise and worship in my heart. I'll do my testimony in my heart. I'll hear the word in my heart. And I'll attend church in my heart. Kingdom is not first. When we say virtual church, it is for people that entirely cannot make it to church. There are people like that. Entirely, they are not in this town. They are far. You, your house is just around there and you are joining us online. It's not like your leg broke. Before virtual church, the Bible says, do not neglect what? Do you know that Jesus knew that there will be virtual church one day before he said that? Hallelujah to Jesus. So you can be politicians, I believe that. But you cannot be a politician tomorrow if today you are not taking God so serious. In 2 Corinthians 9, the Bible says God can cause all grace to abound for you. All grace. All grace to abound for you. You can actually be a politician. But we can tell if you are going to be a true politician from what you are doing right now. Are you taking God serious? Pastor, I'm going to be a good politician. Forget all these religious practices. How will you be? How am I sure? Alright? How am I sure that rice, I'll be able to eat this rice if I don't put it in the machine that will peel off the back and remove all the stones? How am I sure I'll be able to eat the rice that they just harvested? The machine is the surety, yes or no? As I see the machine, I know that this is a potency to eating what? This rice. How am I sure you are going to eat that bread if it costs 2,000? If I give you 2,000, you start rejoicing like you have the bread. Do you get what I'm trying to say? How am I sure you're going to be a good politician? Right now, what are you doing? Are you serious with God? Are you praying in the Spirit? Are you giving yourself to the Word of God? Because when you get to that height, there will be greater temptation. For somebody that has had his void, if he has 2 billion, he cannot use it for important things. Look at these worldly people. See what they use money for. Have you not seen that they celebrate millions of money being spent in a club? Don't you see them on the media? Social media every time celebrating that. In fact, they boast about it. That's what they do. That is why some of them wonder, without understanding, they wonder why you spend money like that in church. How the devil make them think so foolish that even 10% is their problem? You know, one time before I got married, or was it when we were married? I saw this wedding of one of these worldly singers, Davido. He had a wedding. And I somehow saw the video on the internet, Facebook. I saw how they were spreading, not Naira. Because when you spread Naira, is an offense. Right? So what they did is that they started spreading dollar. They went and converted all their Naira to dollar. And they were spreading dollar, $100, $1,000, somebody will carry it. They were, in fact, if you spray it like this, you don't have money. They spray it as bundu. You can't imagine the billions gotten in that wedding. These are the same people that will come and say, I don't like the way pastors are. And Christians will be like, it's true. For 10%. Are you seeing how the devil is wicked? The devil will never inspire people to support what will remove him from the earth. He will never. Whether you like it or not, money is a big factor in this kingdom business. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Whether you like it or not. How did you come to church today? Do you know we can have more people in church today than this number? If we have the means, do you know? If we put buses everywhere in this town, till that side, you will not know the end of the crowd in this place. Churches that can do it are doing it. Yes or no? They are. Haven't you gone to some churches and see over 50 buses on a Sunday? Finances is very important in ministry. That's why Satan is attacking the finance of the church. You know, there's a word that came lately from the pit of hell that says, God does not make people rich. Have you heard that? Have you heard that? And someone said that the money, you know, a man of God was explaining the scripture about King Solomon. He said, Solomon asked for wisdom. Can you look for that scripture for me, media? Just look for that scripture for me. First Kings what? 3, right? Alright, I want to see from where he had that dialogue with God. From verse... Okay, First Kings 3 and 10. Look at it critically. It said, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. What thing did he ask for? Wisdom, isn't it? Church, let's pull scripture. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked what? The life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Next part of scripture. He said, behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and what? So that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. Right? Next part of scripture. Then it says, and I have also given you what you have not asked. See God's pattern. When you seek the most important, you get the other things that are not very important. Is it both what? Riches and what? So that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. Look at, let me point out something here. Riches and honor can make sure that you are outstanding. Alright? According to God's word. It says, so that. Meaning God is saying that this thing I'm even adding is so that no one will be like you. So riches and honor can actually make you unique. But look at the point now. He asked for wisdom and understanding. God gave him, and still God said, I will give you what? Riches and what? Honor. The things you didn't ask for. The man of God said, God. Now that's what we read. He said, you saw it in the Bible. He said, that's what you read, but that's not what it means. Now, people of God, what does riches and honor mean? Is there anything we can break here? Is riches not riches here? Is honor not honor here? We saw him from verse 10. He said, because you have not had for asked for riches, long life, your enemy's life, I will give you what you asked for and even the things you did not ask for. In other words, if you become his enemy, you are in trouble. Because God has even given him his enemy's life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. And the man of God said, God, now you see, when you become biased sometimes, when God now catch you, because you see scripture, if you don't read scripture according to, you know, how do I put it? If you have beef with this brother, for instance, if I'm a preacher and I don't like what you are preaching, somehow I may have a problem with your teachings that are even genuine. And because of your personality that I hate, I may try to just discard everything you say, both those that are right and those that are what? Wrong. And in me doing that thing, if God now attacks me with scripture, because God is not in that fight. If I now see something in scripture that is against what I'm against in you now, I will look for a way to bend scripture because I don't want to agree with you. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? That's what is happening. And some of us are victims. There are some people shouting on the internet, God does not make people rich. That man is fighting his enemies. That's why he's saying what he's saying. According to the Bible, God gives riches. I said it, I showed you in Chronicles, riches and honor comes from who? God. Did we read it or not? God makes people rich. Hallelujah to Jesus. But imagine as a Christian, you don't have that mindset that God makes people rich. Do you know it's an attack on your soul? The way you even work hard will not be like somebody that knows God. You know, if God makes people rich, and if you know God makes people rich and you are working hard from that understanding, you work with surety. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because you know that as you are working, you will see the fruit of your labor. He said, I will bless the works of your hands. Is that not what God said? The works of your hands. Meaning he wants you to work, even though he makes people rich. He wants you to work. And I said, God doesn't just give riches. He gives more than enough. He gives abundance. That's what the Bible teaches. Last week I told you there were 5,000 people, but how many people did God, how many bread and fish did God provide? Was it 5,000 exactly? Huh? Didn't he know there were 5,000 people? There were how many basket leftovers there? 12. You think God made a mistake? Maybe when it happened, Peter, I didn't count well. He knew. He asked questions. And he provided more than enough. Why? Then some of you are trusting God for a business that will give you exactly the money you need for your need. No. You're going to be so rich according to God's word. You are supposed to be so rich that you can help a lot of people around you. A lot of people around you. You are so rich to a point you see somebody suffering, you can open a business just driving. Imagine you are driving to Abuja and you see one man suffering with something on his head, and you just stop the car and say, well, how much is that shop? They say, you pay the landlord, you buy it, and you say, oh God, just live the rest of your life in glory. And you move. Do you know how exciting life will be? See, poverty has no advantage, even one advantage. The advantage of poverty, there is no one advantage. See, if you are not, if you never walked in suffering, you will not understand glory. Did God ever walk in suffering? Who understands glory more than God? Answer me, who understands glory more than God? If you don't understand suffering, you don't understand glory. Somebody told me, he said, Jesus suffered. That is why he understood glory. Jesus is God, though. He suffered for your sin. He did not suffer to understand something. He suffered for your sin. Period. Meaning, if you did not have a sin problem, you would have not come and done anything like that. Do you know how many of our children will not suffer and they will still understand glory? It is not suffering that makes people wise. It is the word of God that makes people wise. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, when we accept these ideologies, then we'll be thinking that we should have children in poverty so that the children will understand glory. No. No. Imagine you give birth to your children while you're already a billionaire. So they are going to spoil. Rich men children used to spoil. No. The Bible said the prosperity of a fool destroys him, not prosperity in itself. As a child is growing, you are teaching the child the wisdom of God. There is no way the child will be spoiled. Poverty has no value. I know what I'm telling you, people of God. Somebody say, what of the poor in the spirit? Did they say it's poor in the flesh? Thank God you read it, poor in the spirit. It simply means the humble, those that acknowledge that they are nothing without God. That's what it means to be poor in the spirit. The more I make you understand that without God I'm useless, I'm showing you how poor in the spirit I am. That without God I am very what? Useless. This is a practical example. If the church is so rich, we'll not be in an environment where they are playing something in the other place. Will we be there? And who is the church? We are the church. I mean, you're going to be stinkingly rich. Don't even lobby with poverty. Don't joke with it. Don't play with poverty. I told you 2 days back, I was sitting in the leadership meeting for PGC. We're supposed to start a program called PGC, a campaign for teenagers in several secondary schools. As I was teaching them, I showed them how that the Lord was inspiring me more. It was hitting my heart more 2 days before that time. He said, son, it's time to start earning in hard in currency. In tougher currencies. Dollars, pounds, sterling, and the rest. Somebody may say, how, pastor? See, the people that are doing it, they don't have two heads. If there is a way somebody can earn in dollar, we must earn in dollars. Pastor, are you talking about Yahoo? I'm not talking about Yahoo. I'm talking about legitimate ways to make money. You know, I was teaching some people. Programming, network, data analysis is hard. And I said, never say that again. You know, when I got admission, I had two set of people that talked to me. The second set of people were very scarce. The first set of people were everywhere. Oh, you came to computer science. Some of them were church people. You enter computer science and maths department. Hey! My brother, you all don't finish. Oh, see us. We are looking for a way to leave the department. I'm on probation. Waiting, carry you come here. My brother, if you know what is good for you, start working your way to another department. Oh, you can't graduate here. Ha! The news were everywhere. Then I met one guy one evening reading. Very quiet. And I went to him. I said, sir, why is everybody saying this department is hard? He said, my brother, don't mind them. Oh, it's not hard. In fact, it's so easy. Guess my GP. I said, please tell me. He said, 4.7 something thereabout. He said, and that's the least. So I'm going higher. I will graduate with first class. It's very easy. If you read, you pass. I said, say it again. He said, if you read, you pass. You know what those people were showing us? The lecturers are wicked. The department is bad. The HOD is wicked. This other one just told me something simple. If you forget about all the obstacles. Focus on what you are supposed to do. Read and pass. And data engineering is so hard. The people that are doing it, do they have two heads? Programming is so hard. The people programming, do they have two heads? Sir, I was learning data analysis. Sir, I give up. I'll keep on selling Zobo and bonds. I can't do that thing, sir. It's so hard. Brothers and sisters, know it, let your eye almost remove in the night. No problem. Have you seen doctors just look at you and tell you what is wrong with you before? It's so exciting. You know, I went to visit somebody that was sick in the hospital. They told me the lady was admitted. So when I went, I wanted to see the doctor and know what was wrong with her. The doctor said he already said what was wrong, but they don't believe him. They want him to do tests. That, see, I've been in this thing for more than 10 years. When I see, I know. But do the test. Where's the money? It's the same result. I said, sir, if you say it's the result, no problem. Who are we? Let's start the treatment. And that thing got stick to my head. He said, even if you take the test, you will find out it's the same result. Why? He has been practicing. Before that man got to that level, do you know how many times he did TDB? Red. Pass exam. But now at once he can look at somebody and tell the person his problem. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? That's how it is. It will be very difficult. You will read to know data analysis or programming. One time. You know, one day I was programming in my school and I couldn't run this code because of there was one error. One young man is in Abuja today. He just entered. He said, ah, professor, what are you doing here? I said, all through the night, this code is not running. It's my project. I don't know what's wrong. He said, ah, let me see, sir. He looked at it, line one, line two, line three. He just removed one comma. He said, explain, no, the comma is not supposed to be here. He removed it. He just, I said, it ran? He said, yes. I said, dear Jesus, I've been here all night. Somebody just came, removed one thing, the thing ran. I shook him, I said, congratulations. I'm the one telling congratulations. I said, you're good. Congratulations. A very big congratulations to you. You see, this guy, before he got there, would have studied so much. And all of a sudden, he can just look at something and just run it. He knows the failure, the mistake there, he can run it. But before he got there, he studied so much. That's how it's supposed to be. Some of us who just want to sit down and money will be flying to us. No. Work hard. You are young. 20-something, 30-something. What are you doing with your life? You want to waste it. You are saying things are hard. Why will it be hard? At 21. That's why we started this PGC. Some students in secondary school now are saying, I don't want to do science. I want to do art. I hear say science hard. We want to go and meet them and tell them to not be confused. You are too young to make that kind of bad decision. Some of them, God wants them to be doctors. Because of science is hard, they are going to be lawyers. They are the ones that will be lying now in court, collecting bad cases. I'm supposed to be, daddy said I should join science student, but when I enter the first day, Jesus, when they're doing this, is my head one blow. Do you know some of us seated here, that's our testimony. First day in science class was the day we ran away. First day. What do you want to become? Banker or my brother, I know if you do science or I know if it. No jokes. So we want to rush to them and tell them not to waste their future because of laziness. Tell somebody around you, you can be anything you want to be. You can be anything. Go and learn those hard things. That's where the money is. One man that inspires me so much, now he has made his wife, he has made a woman, sorry, suggesting that she may be his wife. Alright? He just made a discovery that he can sleep with the woman. It's a robot he made. Probably he's tired of women, I don't know. Elon Musk. So Pastor Simon, is he a complete believer? He's not speaking like he's a complete believer. But you know, I like the guy. He's super intelligent. I mean, I like those kind of scientists. He didn't say that there is no God. But how do I know that he's a God in his hand? He's against the Democrats. He's doing rally with Trump. Hope you know. And you know, you can just say, if you if you tell me that I like, how do I put it? I like physics and chemistry. You don't need to tell me you're a science student. I just know you're a science student. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you love the way that values Trump is trying to bring, you don't need to tell me you're a Christian. I just know you're a Christian. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So God took one of the greatest scientists in the world and put the guy on our own path. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But look at the beautiful thing I like about him. Look at the discoveries. You know, he wanted Trump to win. He bought Twitter. If you like, argue with me. I don't care. I know that's why he bought Twitter. They banned Trump. He brought Trump back. Say, come and own your account, sir. If Facebook tried to ban him, he will buy Facebook. What can he not buy? The Bible says, for money itself is a defense. Are you hearing me tonight? Those hard things, go for it. They say something is hard. Find delight in doing it. I find delight in doing hard things. Bible says it is the glory of kings to bring about, to search out a matter. The glory of kings. How do you prove your kingship and manifest it on the earth? By solving big problems. You now begin to live as a king. When they say something is hard, like it. There's a programming is hard. I say, no. I don't want programming again. I want to learn tailoring. Programming is very hard. We're not saying tailoring is bad. But why did you choose it? Because some of us like the part of least resistance. Where there is no pressure, that's where we like. Are you listening to me tonight? I remember when we started programming in Petra. Because church has an ICT. I remember the first time I came there, I heard that some people, there were over 30 that started. Less than 5 that graduated. Church members, oh, this is our church. Over 30. And I gave them real scholarship. It was supposed to be 30,000. I said they should pay 5,000 people of God. 5,000. Because I want to prove that we have members. So, and you know why I said they should pay 5,000? My mind told me they will not be serious. So I said pay 5,000. At least to show commitment. Now programming, if you ask people out there that you were taught programming for 30,000, they will say God forbid. They were teaching you nonsense there. But it's not nonsense. We truly wanted to teach them. Amen. One day I came and said, where are the students? They showed me 5 people. I said, where are all their chair and their donor? They said they've gone. They said they cannot do it again. All of them, they've run away. Sonny, them, where are them? All of them ran away. He started to. What is the problem? Transport, he choke. Number two, what is the problem? Sir, my head is not carrying it. Which one is your head carrying? Imp is second thing, imp out. Go and do that one. And I laugh. And I said they should not give any of them certificate before they go and disgrace us. The few ones that managed to graduate, they are doing better now. One of them got a job now that gives her up to 200,000. 200,000. The men in the house that were not serious, what are they doing today? Is that kind of woman that will marry them? They can't marry the woman. They'll come and plead their hand in marriage. You know, some women are the ones that are supposed to marry men. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Wake up. Don't go for the path of least resistance. You are young. Are you listening to me? You are too young to learn small things that will not hit. Learn things that before you look at it, you say, Jesus Christ, where will I start from? Start from anywhere. Learn it. I like difficult things. So if it's not difficult, I don't like it. They say calculus. I got interested. They say any part of math that is the hardest, I like it. I like to do what teachers will say, wow, that was my character from secondary school. They say nobody will pass a course. I read it, I got 20 over 20 in the CA. In the exams, I got 50 something. Why? Because they say nobody will pass it. So anytime they say something is hard, I like to do it. That's how it should be for all of us as Christians. Are you listening to me, people of God? You may have not gotten a good GPA in school. Meanwhile, if you are in 100 level, get a good one. If you didn't get, life has not finished. Some of you just graduated. And while people are celebrating your graduation, you are wondering what are they celebrating, because you don't even know where to start from. Listen, you can start from somewhere. Go on the internet, make research. Make research. Ask questions. Are you listening to me? There are people making legitimate money online. Legitimate. For money itself is a what? I did not teach you money today. Like, we're not a money-minded church, but you have to understand these truths. Are we together? You have to. Finally, let me end with this. That the economy is tough does not mean that our life is finished. The same flood that was destroying people in the days of Noah took Noah and his family members on top of the world in his days. As the flood was causing destruction, Noah was going up by the same flood. Sometimes pressure is supposed to bring about the best in you. The economy may be so bad. Do you know, probably God, you know, God knows that there will be a Tinubu one day in this nation. Do you know that? Do you know that? God saw it from the beginning. Do you know God knew that we'll have this kind of president one day? But will this situation change the word of God? He said you are on top always. Above only and not what? Do you think that the situation can cause you to walk in poverty? No. I think it's high time we begin to check on our inside. And remove it. Now, all the things that's been on our inside will not come to the surface. If you were really weak, it will show this season. If you are really poor in your thinking, it will show this season. If you are really full of the word of God, it will show this season. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Be tougher than this season. Go back home, make research. Get to a point where any in dollars. You can do it. You can do it. Are you listening to me? The people that are doing it, they don't have what? Two heads. If they have one head like you, you have the Holy Spirit. He searches all things. All things. Are you here tonight? Are you inspired tonight? Go back home and start marking your greatness. Benue, there's nothing in Benue. That does not mean you should go to Masaka. The Bible said something. It said the blessing of the Lord maketh what? And add no what? Meaning it's not a location that makes you rich. I've said that several times. It is the blessing that makes you rich. Meaning your money is not in Abuja. Your money is in you. Wherever you go. The Bible said about Isaac. There was famine in the land. Yet Isaac still sold in that land. And in that same year, the Bible said he reaped over 1,000. The Bible said he became very rich. That the king of the Philistines said, leave us, for you are so mightier than we in this nation. And he ran away from them. Because he was so rich, all of their resources was going to them. This is what scripture meant for when he said, the riches of the Gentiles are stopped for the righteous. It simply means that God will give you ideas that will make the Gentiles bring their money to you. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? And he's sharing those ideas already. When you go out here, you will receive ideas from God that will make sure that money that have been stored for the wicked, some sort of, are coming to you. They don't want to buy your services. They don't want to buy the value you want to render. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's an idea on your inside. Have the impetus to start it. Ask people that are really billionaires today. They will tell you that they never thought that the idea would work. They just felt like they should start it. Some of them were not even so sure. They just did the thing in a very reluctant way, and all of a sudden, boom, it happened. Hallelujah to Jesus. It happened. And so shall it happen in your life. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, am I saying don't start small? You can start small, but think big. Start small, but what? Think big. You may be selling something today, Zobo, chewing gum, I don't care. As you are starting small, be thinking big. Because selling those things is better than sleeping with men for money. Sleeping with women for money. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can start there, but be thinking big. Have a big picture in your heart. And God will come and fill up that space. He said, as far as your... There's no extent to what God wants to do in your life. Think big. Are you listening to me tonight? Hello, fellow billionaires. You know, we the rich. Turn to your neighbor and say, we the rich, we the rich. I think if you shake your neighbor or give your neighbor a high five, say, we the rich. You know, there's a neighbor that's saying that, don't call me rich, oh, I won't borrow urgent 2K. No. Shake a neighbor, say, you are rich. One more time, hold your neighbor. Say, from today. you are not a borrower. Stop borrowing. You are a lender to nations. Hallelujah. You just remove that spirit from some people. Say, I refuse to borrow. I only give. I refuse to borrow. I only give. In the name of Jesus. Now I declare from henceforth, God will even pay the debt you are owing MTN. That money to pay MTN comes right now. That 5,000, 11,000. My God. That SIM you kept and tried, you are trusting God for a new SIM. The Lord pays that debt in the name of Jesus. And listen, I'm prophetically speaking to somebody. Don't buy a new SIM. Go and put that SIM back. Pay the debt. If you like buy a new SIM, you are a borrower. You are still owing people and you are a thief. A borrower is a slave to the lender. Pay people, pay. Some of you, the slightest opportunity to borrow, you have gone to borrow. If they just do a borrowing app today, stop that character. It's a bad one. Some of you, quick money. You know one thing they used to call quick money that time. You borrowed them. What? Call cash. Go cash. Oh cash. And some of us, they are calling us for your sins. Have you been called before? Do you know Gabriel? He's owing us money and he put your name as short. Please, we are warning you and him. One called me and said, I'm warning you. And I wonder who has mind to put his pastor as short. You put your pastor as short. Aren't you wicked? What did I do? I know, like you told me. You didn't tell me anything. You just went and put my name. His name is Prophet Simon Thomas. He's the president of Glory Carriers. He's my shorty. I told the guy. I didn't even ask of the name. I said, see, you must be stupid to call me and be threatening me. And that guy will not pay you people. Don't worry. I ended the call. Because he was wrong for calling and threatening me. Instead of begging me to beg the person, you are telling me that person is wicked. And truly, that person truly was wicked to them. So, some of you that are owing MTN, pay. The borrower is a slave to the lender. I refuse to borrow. It includes MTN, Airtel, Glow. It includes all of those networks. It includes, I beg, the gate of church. Are they come? It includes that. They get of church, I beg. I know who change. I beg, I don't get change. Then when you reach and pay, now bring it, let me look for change. My guy is supposed to understand. I'm out for you. A king and a priest, you dress smart, so demure, coming to church, and you make a call. I beg, oh, Allah, wait for me at the gate. He's wrong. See, as long as your mind has somebody you can borrow from, you can never be rich. Some of you, the reason why you are not rich, you have an escape measure in your heart. There's one person you can borrow from. There's one uncle you can call. Your mother always speaks your call. Some of us that have learned these things, we learned the hard way. Do you know some people have nobody to call for money? So they turn to God. If you don't give me, where else can I go? They learned the hard way. Learn it early right now. Bible says, redeeming the times for the days are evil. Some of you are blaming uncles. Nothing will happen to them. Nothing will happen to them. Now my useless uncle, he has never contributed for my school. Is he the one that born you? Huh? Except it's a very critical condition. How can your father give birth to 11 children? You are expecting your uncle to train them. Don't worry, you are growing up as an upcoming uncle. They will born for you to train. You now understand your uncle. You know, I heard a story. A young man said, my uncle promised me bicycle. He didn't give me. I promised the son limousine. Lamborghini. So, uncle, what will you buy for me? A Lamborghini. When it was time to give, he said, I will not give because your father too was my uncle. He promised me bicycle. He did not give me. So it's normal for uncles to promise and don't fulfill. I'm sure some of you have plenty promises from uncle. Plenty. Maybe your father too promised and did not fulfill. So you see, that borrowing thing is bad, alright? Before we go, that borrowing thing is very bad. And some of you have firms. You have one friend that used to do borrowing business. And you have announced it. To show that you did not deserve that money, when you borrowed, did you pay? There are some of you sitting under the sound of my voice, you are owing somebody money. And now you are beefing the person. Because of common 20,000, he didn't talk to me anyhow. Pay the 20,000. Let me tell you the truth. You are a sinner here. That person is a very righteous person. You are the sinner. Go and pay the person his money. And you are wicked. Are you all listening to me? If you are owing anybody under the sound of my voice, you are a wicked person. Go and pay. If you are not paying yet, apologize. Talk to the person. See, he's speaking from experience. Talk to him. Tell him why you cannot pay. Not that he call you busy call. Call again, you busy call. The God are mine. The God are mine. The riches are mine. There's one sister in church that has to borrow money. The riches are mine. Sister Susan, so can you borrow me money? It's very urgent. Brother Susan, so can you borrow me money? Your ear don't used to hear people that borrow people money. Your ear don't used to hear. And if those people make research, you have borrowed from like 5 places. Are you here tonight? One time they were borrowing money and they came to me in the office. People were coming from church, 2, 3, 4 people. They said they were borrowing money from one bank. We didn't even know that it was scam the person was doing. And 2 people came to me, they said 5 million. I raised my head, I looked at them. He said, you see waiting? Say 5 million. He started worrying me. I said, when are you paying 5 million? Sir, in 2 years' time, I'm paying. I said, before I raise my head, stand up and leave this place. If I hear that you collect more than 200,000, he said, 200,000 cannot do anything. I said, do what 200,000 can do. Do it. He now said he will not collect again. I said, fine, don't collect. 2 weeks later, we heard it was scam. It was Yahoo Yahoo they were doing. They were using their account in Wema Bank to collect money for. And when we heard it, we're like, Jesus Christ. Imagine all those people that wanted 5 million, collected 5 million. It's not small arrest that would have happened in this church. Because they made it look like they stole the money. Now imagine it was not actually stolen. With what I'm seeing in those people, they can't pay that money. Because I've been their pastor. I know when it's time to give monthly dues. I know what used to happen. It can't happen like that. Hallelujah to Jesus. Go back home and think. Fellow billionaires. Teachers. Secondary school teachers. If you teach, lift your hand and say amen. Don't hide it. Be proud of your profession. Teachers are the beauty of our nation. If you teach, wave your hand. If you teach, God wants to release a blessing upon you. Wave your hands up. You are not a teacher. Shabi, you told me that lady is your colleague. You don't teach. Okay, she's a copper. Okay, that means she's not a teacher. She's a copper. Okay, she doesn't belong in your class. She's just doing her service. Now, if you are a teacher, wave your hand up. Listen, I'm not against you. I'm for you. That's why I want to advise you like a father. I have been in this nation for a while. I taught too. Do you know I taught in a secondary school? I was the highest paid in my school. Should I tell you my salary that time? as the highest paid. It was no more than 30,000, no. Highest paid. Around 214. Highest paid. 213. 30K. It was student lesson that made the money close to 100,000. I was doing lesson like I was almost dead. From this lesson, I moved to another lesson. My head wants to blow. Some that I often meet is rubbish. I used to teach them. Rubbish. And at the end of the month, they'll pay me, it will be close to 100,000. I remember. All the workload. Then, you see, I remember that time before we close. They say, lesson notes. Are you here? Yes, teachers, do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, lesson notes when you teach like 5 subjects, how? And somebody told me 5 is small. Some teach 8 for 20,000. 8. Just 1 to SS 3. Oh my God. Listen, let me feel you today so that we feel. Listen to me, teachers. I was lucky during my time. I told the man I cannot write lesson notes. I was the only one that passed the exam. When I passed the exam, he told me that I can teach without lesson notes. No problem. He gave me the privilege, but he said I should not tell anybody. So what I do is I show him the topics and I teach. And he pays me like that. I remember Pastor Benson, Vicky's elder brother. Yes, this is Vicky in church here. There was one time your brother was teaching this Makodi. His salary was how much? 23,000. The subject he was teaching was how many? 14 subjects. He had lesson note for 14 subjects. It was paid how much? 23,000. I remember sometimes I'll be teaching Pastor Benson's eyes will be red. He was not sleeping. Teachers, some of you they will now say, look for a better teacher. No, the student loved me. I love the student. My children. Oh, my babies. My ovaries. Some of them, they even know the birthday of all the students. They are saying, oh, my baby is 2 today. Happy birthday, my dear. I'm proud of you. How much is the salary? 40,000. How many subjects? I'm not mocking you. Thank you for being diligent with hard work yet. That's not the best of God for you. That's not the word. You know you can do a job with that stress and earn millions. With that stress. Learn a skill. Now you cannot afford. Learn something in 2 months that will take you out from that place. If you see a job that gives you 500,000, let me know what will move you now. Let's know. Do you get what I'm trying to say? They have passion for medicine. Do you know how many doctors are coders today? They left human lives. They are coding today and receiving 1.5 million. They left hospital, we run with a beg, I'm not doing again. They ran away. No discharge later. In fact, they denied that they are doctors. Be wise, oh. Wherever there is money, if there is a skill you can learn that the money speaks, learn it. Say, Pastor, God has called me to be a doctor. No problem, you are going to be a doctor. Learn that thing that is giving people 1.5 yet. Become doctor. Any 1.5, any 200K in the hospital, no problem. That way you cannot be doing going to five hospitals at a time. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Bow your heads and pray. Let's pray in an area today. Say, Lord, steer an idea in me. That one idea that will change my life financially, steer it. Go ahead and pray. Sincerely pray that prayer. That one idea that will change my life financially. Don't joke with this moment. Steer that idea. Emphasize that idea in my heart. Emphasize that idea in my heart. Go ahead, everybody. That one eye there. That one eye there. And pray, Lord, if I'm not living in my best yet, cause me to realize and begin to live in my best. There are some of us who are into parts where God is saying, no, that's not what you are supposed to be doing. But you have just been doing it, and there's no profit there. And for some, the momentary profit is even a distraction to the original intent of God for you. The Bible said the path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter to the perfect day. The Bible says he leads us beside the still water. He restores our soul. He can lead us to the place of profit and advantage. The Bible said the righteous have a godly heritage. A goodly, godly heritage. Lord, I cannot be confused with you. I am full of the Holy Spirit. Steer that one eye there. Steer that one eye there. Steer that one eye there. Go ahead, confidently pray it, knowing who will hear you. And because God is the greatest power, we shall never be defeated. And because God is the greatest power, we shall never be defeated. The devil is a liar. God is a soldier. I shall never be defeated. Never be defeated. God is not leaving you now. The devil is a liar. God is a soldier. God cares about your finances. Yes, he does. He cares about your financial prosperity. Yes, he does. He does. He leads you in the path of righteousness for his namesake. He guides you beside the still water. He restores your soul. Anoint your head with oil and your cup runs over. Even if I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I fear no evil. God is with me. Like Joseph, we can succeed in any situation. Lord, there's an idea. We can come out from this world, come out from this prison to the palace. There's an idea. There's something in me that can take me up there. That one eye there. That one eye there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' gracious name we pray.
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.